All right, for study number 6 in our family God's Way study, we're now looking at the Lord as home builder. The Lord as home builder. In many ways, what we've been concentrating on in the previous studies is the Lord as architect of the home. You know, an architect draws out the plans and designs what the house is to look like. In many ways, that's what we've been letting God do. Lord, through your word, draw the plans, lay out the blueprints, show us what the house should look like. And many of us, we've drawn a different set of plans through the years than the Lord had in mind. So we need to get the plans sorted out. The Lord as the architect, the designer of our homes. And that's critically important. But here's the amazing thing. As much as we need the Lord as the architect of our homes, we also need the Lord as the builder of our homes. The one to be actively engaged in putting the household together. And you can see that certainly in a passage like Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1 reads, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It takes labor to build a house. A physical, literal house doesn't just spring up in an instant, not here now, an hour later, there's a house on an empty lot. It doesn't work that way. The building of a physical house takes much labor. So it is with the building of a spiritual house, a household unit, the family. It takes labor. And many, even in Christian families, have never caught a vision that they are to throw their lives and their hearts and labor at the building of that household unit. But here's the interesting thing. You could catch a vision of how you need to be laboring in your home to see it built, and you could, as they say, work your head off. Labor to exhaustion. And yet if the Lord is not involved in the whole process, here's what we're told. They labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The Lord wants to be the builder of our homes, not just the architect. He's not handing us the blueprints and saying, okay, go build the perfect house and bring it to me. No, he's saying, here's the blueprint, but also I want to be involved in the building. Think of it this way. Hammers and saws don't build houses. Carpenters do. The hammers and saws are the instruments. Well, really, people on their own don't build a Christian home. The Lord wants to be the builder and use us as His instruments. Sure, we get fully involved. If we were a hammer and the carpenter picked us up, we'd know we're being used, you know? It's not that we don't get involved, it's who is causing the whole thing to come together. And the Lord wants to use our lives and work in our lives and build our homes. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. See, even religious movements that are known maybe for their nice houses, I mean good families, kind of solid, good citizens, they stay together. If they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's not their Lord and Savior, if it's not the Jesus of the Bible, if it's not the great I Am, the Lord God Almighty, then even what looks like a good house isn't. Why? Because they're laboring in vain. Because unless the Lord God Almighty, through Jesus His Son, is building the house, people are laboring in vain. They're working, but not to the right ends. They can't produce it. So here's the point for our study. The Lord is home builder. As much as we need the Lord to be the architect of our homes, we also need Him to be the builder of our homes. Now with that in mind, if it's our conviction on our heart, Lord, we not only want You to be the designer of our homes, we want you to be the builder also, then we'll want to be committed to the ways and means that the Lord shows in His Word are the way He builds a household unit. For example, our first one is the Word of God. The Lord is home builder using His Word, Matthew 7. His Word. In the building of a physical house, the laying of a foundation is critical, isn't it? You don't just run out any place, find a piece of land, maybe rocky or sandy or slanted, and just start putting a physical house up on it. You need a good foundation. So it is with a spiritual household unit, a family. How does the Lord lay a foundation in lives and homes? Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27 show us. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Here are two different people trying to build a house. And obviously this story is about how God lays foundations in lives, because it's all about His Word and how people respond. One man built on the sand. The storms came, the house fell. The other man built on a rock. The storms came, the house stood. The storms of life come to foolish and wise lives alike. The storms of life come to godless, unbelieving homes, and they come to godly, believing homes. Some popular theologies would want to tell us there's a way to, you know, sort of name it, claim it, or speak it forth, and the trials and the storms will just veer around our street. The Bible doesn't teach that. I like the idea. I'd like a way to be sure I could just make every storm go around my household unit. Now, there is a kind of storm that can be diminishing, and we can be a part of the process. That's the kind of storms we stir up through our selfishness or our flesh. Yeah, those kind can be diminishing. But there's a kind that will stay all our days on earth. This is a warfare zone, earth. It's a battleground. Jesus lived a perfect life, and storms tracked his trail all the way through. Job, did the storms of life stay away from his house? It's almost like they hunted down his house. And he was the most righteous, godly man of his age by God's own estimation. So the issue is not, how do you make sure no storm can ever come? No, the question is, how do you lay a foundation so that after the storms have come and gone, the household unit is still standing? And the point is, build the house on the rock. How do we get that rock-solid foundation? Well, the immediate answer might seem to be, well, the Word of God. Well, that's true, but notice, even the foolish man heard the Word of God. Did you notice that? Look at verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Even the foolish man heard the Word of the Lord. The problem is, he didn't respond to it. He didn't believe it, obey it, say, "What you said, Lord, is what I want to walk in." And we can be foolish and hear the Word of the Lord and then just go on about our business and do our own thing. Hey, I heard it. That's all that matters. No, we want to be doers. A great example of the right attitude to the Word to have it become a foundation in our lives is the response of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel brought the Word of the Lord to her saying she'd have a child without knowing a man, virgin birth. Boy, what would be your response if you had a word like that given to you? I mean, your mind could spin. That's impossible. Or if it can be done, what will people say and think? I mean, what a word was given to her. And yet she had a tremendous response. You remember what she said? Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Well, that's a perfect response to the word of God. "Be it unto me, Lord, according to whatever you said to me." Our response to these hours of Bible study, if they're going to be used of God to lay a foundation of spiritual stability, a rock in our lives, should be, "Lord, what you said is what we want to walk in. Be it unto us according to your word." We don't just want to be hearers, we want to walk in exactly what you were talking about. That's how the Lord lays a foundation in lives and homes. It's the word of God responded to, believed, counted upon, acted upon, lived in. Now, a little warning. Since the word of God is what is heaven's plan to lay a foundation, it would be wise for us to be aware and alert in a great portion of marriage and family books out in the market, even in religious or sometimes actually even Christian bookstores. Too many are just not biblically sound. They concentrate on the horizontal and don't bring in the vertical relationship of God. Or they're all about self-esteem or psychological theory. We don't need the guesses and opinions of man. We need the absolute truth of the eternal living God. There's nothing better. There's nothing that can replace it. Anything else is less. If we get into books on home and family and marriage, just pray for discernment. Checking everything that's said by whatever you know of the Word of God. And maybe even asking a pastor or Christian friend who's done a lot of Bible study, is this book biblically sound? And shockingly, many aren't. It's the Word of God we need. One of my favorite studies in all the Scriptures is under the heading of the ability of the Word of God. What God's Word can do if we'll take it in and want to respond to it. Here, the ability of the Word, if we'll take it in and say, "Amen, I want to walk in that, Lord," it'll become like a foundation for our homes. So even though the storms of life will come, when the storm blows by, our household unit will still be standing because it's grounded in the Word of God, received and believed and willing to act upon it. The Lord, as the builder of our homes, He wants to do that by laying a foundation of His Word in our hearts and lives. So if we want the Lord as the builder of our homes, we want to be committed to the Word of God. Getting in the Word, getting the Word in us, getting the Word into our family, and urging everyone to receive it, believe it, and walk in it. What else? Well, let's look on our list at His church. First, His Word. Let's look now at His church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. His church. The Lord not only wants to use His Word in the building of our homes, He wants to use His church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." This is quite an interesting description of the church. His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This is one of the key verses in one of our seminars on the church, how Jesus builds it. Jesus' view of the church is this: the church is a body, a living spiritual organism, not just a dead religious organization. And as a living spiritual organism of which we are the members and He is the life, His body, the church, is here called the fullness of Him who fills all in all. the fullness of Him. That's what the Lord says the church can be. Sometimes too many of our churches are not full of the Lord Jesus. We're full of tradition, or full of ourselves maybe, you know. Hey, we're the greatest church around. A church full of itself is not good. A church full of Jesus is good. Because the church is to be, and can be, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You may remember that little statement in Colossians 3:11 that says, Christ is all and in all. Jesus Christ lives in every member of the body of Christ. And He wants to be all that all of us will ever need for life and godliness. When the children of God seek the Lord to be that, and then gather in that fullness of Him, the church becomes, in practical application and demonstration, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What's the implication here for a family? Well, the Lord has promised to individuals and to families abundant life, fullness of life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life, fullness of life is what the Lord has for our families. Well, the church is where that fullness of life is to be learned of, demonstrated, exhorted, and help one another grow in it. The church is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. If we're going to have fullness of life in Christ, we're going to want to be bringing our family up in the church of Jesus Christ. Some of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus or want God's best for our families sometimes have a view of just tacking on some church life to our family life. Hey, our family, we need God's blessing and God's provision. So we have the family, we have some prayer and the Word and some Christian friends and some good education, and we'll add on some church meetings. Just adding on a little church is not really God's plan. We are the church. He wants us to live like that. Like a body, all related to each other and to Him, the head, sharing one life, the life of the Lord Jesus. It hit me one day, thinking on this, where the human body is an illustration of the body of Christ, you know, one living organism, many members, one head, one life, all shared by all members. I was thinking, if my right arm were as loosely attached to my body as some believers in Christian families are to the Church of Jesus Christ, my right arm would be almost useless. It would just be hanging there with one or two blood vessels and maybe a couple of tendons. Not very useful, certainly not enjoying fullness of life. The implication for families is this. If we're going to have the Lord as the builder of our homes and let Him build fullness of experience into our lives, we need to be willing to let Him use His church in our family. Thereby let our family be a full part of His church. Not just talking about adding meeting to meeting and activity to activity, but see ourselves as a part of the body of Christ, attached and relating one to another, all under the headship of Christ, sharing the life of Christ. Can't you see the difference that would bring to someone? You can see a family getting up on a Sunday morning, say, when the whole body usually gathers. And maybe some of the family, dad or mom or some of the kids or older kids going, oh, I don't know if I feel like getting to church today. I'm kind of tired. You know, that third video last night wore me out. I don't know if I can make it. Hey, I'm not under the law. No problem. I'm free. I'll just go next week. Well, God isn't going to condemn anyone for that, and a lightning bolt isn't going to strike them. But think of the vision of the church that is. It's like, I don't know if I feel up to adding a meeting to my family life. Now let's take another scenario and a different vision. Family wakes up on a Sunday morning, and all of them a little tired and weary, and Dad too, and he goes, "Mom, kids, we're kind of worn out from yesterday. We're kind of depleted. In fact, we've been kind of discouraged lately, haven't we? Hey, you know what? We need to get to that place that's called the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Kids, Mom, we can't afford to not be plugged in." It's a whole different vision, isn't it? Depending on whether you're just adding a service or a meeting, or you see the church is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The Lord wants to bring to our individual lives and our families abundant life, fullness of life. And He wants to build us up in fullness. Well, if we want the Lord to be the builder of our homes and build our lives in fullness, we not only want to be committed to His Word in our lives and how He wants to use it, but His church in our lives and how He wants to use the church in our lives and our lives in the church. All right, the Lord as builder of our homes, the ways He will work, His Word, His church. Let's look at another one. His wisdom and guidance. His wisdom and guidance. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. If you're in a family, if you're married, especially if you have kids, you find out that it takes wisdom and guidance to see a family built. Oh, how wisdom and guidance can get tested time and time and time again. Well, what we need, if the Lord's going to build our homes in wisdom and guidance, we need His wisdom and guidance. Building our homes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 speaks of this. Great verses, may be familiar to you. If not, they could become some of your favorites. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. These are great verses. Great verses to read, not only individually, but collectively as families. When there's some great decision to make, some great crisis that is being faced, these are great verses to read. A priority to sort out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Perhaps a new venture the family is looking into. Great verses to read. And though they might be familiar with you, they're very familiar to me. I've been there many times. Sometimes just meditating, enjoying, sometimes weeping and praying. But I found every time I come here for wisdom and guidance, it's as though it's the first time I came. It can be so fresh and real. Oh, we need wisdom and guidance in our families. And so often, the difficulties that come, the decisions that come, just seem to go beyond our wisdom, and we don't know what guidance to follow. Well, here's how the Lord would have us deal with that, I think. A call to trust in the Lord. Put our trust in Him with everything that's within us. Lord, we want to trust You totally and lean not on our own understanding. Have you ever found that leaning on your own understanding is a precarious position to be in? You know? Our own understanding is not enough to hold us upright in the battles of life. We're called here to lean not on our own understanding. God gives understanding, and our understanding of Him and His ways can grow, but really it will never be sufficient. He'll always know more than us, and we'll always need to know more than we do. So we don't want to lean on our own understanding. What do? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Take the way that is before you, the matter you're looking at, and say, Lord, we just acknowledge You. We look to You. We count on You. We confess You as our Lord, our Master, our Savior. We're counting on You to be the builder of our home and build through this situation. A person who does that, a family that does that, can then rise up and walk into the situation with this confidence. He shall direct your path. It's a promise. Not he maybe will guide you. He shall direct your path. You know, this is better than the best understanding man could have, is being able to walk through a situation with this promise. The Lord says, He shall direct my path. How do you know He's going to? Because you've told Him you want to trust in Him, you don't want to lean on your own understanding. In every way you must face, you acknowledge Him as in charge. Boy, what a great place for families to come. For couples, for individuals. Again, in crisis, in impossibility, in difficulty, or facing some great new opportunity or venture. This is the way to find the Lord's wisdom and guidance. If the Lord is going to be the builder of our homes, we're going to want to commit ourselves to seeking His wisdom and guidance, not ours. All right, let's look at one more. His grace. His grace. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. His grace. This great verse speaks of two aspects of the grace of God. Let me suggest to you that one of these two aspects, every Christian ever, past, present, or future, knows or will know about this aspect of the grace of God. It might sound like kind of a bold statement, but it can be demonstrated quickly in the Scriptures. But I also will suggest that this second aspect of the grace of God in this verse, many Christians have either never heard of it, or they too easily forget it. All right, the verse we're going to read is verse 32 of Acts 20. Verse 32, Acts 20. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. By the way, here's another verse on the ability of God's word. The word of His grace, God's word, which is about His grace, which is able. One of the great hopes in our home should be what God's Word can do if we just take it in and want to walk in it. The ability of God's Word to change lives. Here it's called the Word of His grace. It's God's Word that unfolds His grace. The work He's willing to do that we don't deserve. His grace. Look at this. The Word of His grace able to do two things. One, build us up. Second, give us an inheritance. Now, which of these two would you think that every Christian is familiar with? It's the inheritance. Why? Well, how do you get an inheritance? You get born into a family. And the family inheritance is yours. How did we get born into the family of God and become inheritors of the things of God, the blessings of God, and become joint heirs with Christ? By grace. The reason you and I can know that eternal life is our possession, heaven is our home we're headed for, and that we're joint heirs with Christ to share His blessed reign and rule forever, is by the grace of God. No one deserves that. God doesn't give that to people who earn it or deserve it. No one deserves it. It's what comes at new birth, born again through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by grace. Every Christian knows that. How can you prove that every Christian knows that? Flip it around. If you don't know that, you're not a Christian. It's that simple. If you don't know becoming a child of God, becoming a joint heir with Christ, born again, eternal life, your possession, if you don't know that's by the grace of God through faith in Jesus, you're not a Christian. Every Christian knows this part of the grace of God because it's how they became a believer. heaven their home, born again through faith in Jesus Christ. By grace you've been saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8 says. It's grace. And praise God for that aspect of the grace of God. And we want that aspect of the grace of God at work in our homes. God's grace, forgiving mom, dad, kids, grandpa, grandma, grandkids. His grace bringing forgiveness of sin, new life eternal. Not by works, not by our merit or efforts, but by His grace, Jesus dying in our place. We want that grace of God at work in our homes. We want everyone in the household unit to understand that grace, receive it, rely upon it. But there's another aspect of the grace of God here. The word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Now, I would suggest that this is the aspect of God's grace that many Christians have never heard of, and some who've heard of it forget about it. This is grace to be transformed and changed, strengthened, built up. The inheritance is God's grace that brings new birth, spiritual birth, born again. This grace, the word of His grace which is able to build you up, is grace for spiritual growth. We need both. Only by grace can we be born again into the family of God. But also, the grace of God that forgave our sins, gave us new life in Christ, is to then become the resource of strength that grows us up in the Lord Jesus. As we're in the Word, in prayer, learning of the Lord, His grace at work in our lives, changing us. We know in the physical realm what's to follow birth. What do we all expect to follow birth in the physical realm? Growth. In fact, it's a tragedy in the physical realm if there's birth and then no growth follows. It's a tragedy spiritually. If a person is born again and does not begin and continue to grow. Well, we know how to be born again. It's by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. How do you grow, develop, be changed, transformed, and strengthened? Here it is. The word of His grace, which is able to build you up as well as give you that inheritance. In the kingdom of heaven, spiritual birth is by grace. In the family of God, spiritual growth is by the grace of God. Oh, not even hinting that we don't fully get involved. We do. We get deeply involved. But you have to always ask the question, what is the source of the life and strength in which we are engaging and getting involved in the Christian life? The natural tendency to think we are the source doing it for God. The Scriptures would teach He's the source bringing it to us to live out. That's grace at work. It's not something, the Christian life isn't something we manufacture, it's something we cooperate with God, developing it in our lives. He's the builder of our lives and of our homes. Well, how do you live by the grace of God? It's a big question. The Scriptures answer it. There are two relational realities God wants to develop in our lives that we might live daily by the grace of God. In our Growing in the Grace of God seminar, we spend hours letting the Scriptures explain this. But we can catch a little glimpse of it and see it in our homes just by considering a couple of verses. Verses that speak of two relational realities. You know, matters that become real in our lives through relationship. With whom? With the Lord Jesus Christ. These two relational realities that God wants developed in our lives that we might live daily by the grace of God. The first is humility. Humility. James 4:6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many people trying to build an upstanding, godly, respectable, righteous home do it in pride and self-sufficiency? We can do it. Look what we've done. Listen, that's not letting the Lord be the builder of our homes. God resists that attitude. God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Think of that. If we're going to live by the grace of God, which is how we're called to grow, we've got to be willing to walk in humility. Walk humbly with our God. God gives grace to the humble. The grace of God does not flow into self-sufficient, proud, I've got it all in control hearts. Humility is precious in the sight of God. Sad that it's not a cherished virtue in much of the church world. Our world, hey, pride is what they're after. What God's after is humility. Even Jesus humbled Himself and became a servant. He said, "Come learn of me. I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls." Humility is a precious virtue of heaven. God wants it developed in our lives. How? Out of relationship with Him. We'll talk about that in just a moment as we conclude. So one of the two relational realities that God wants developed in our lives, that we might live daily by the grace of God, that He might build our lives and homes, is humility. The second is faith. Faith. Romans 5:2, speaking of Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Here's the wonderful truth. Whereas God gives grace to the humble heart, here we're told faith accesses grace. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Faith accesses grace. Faith reaches in and receives grace. Faith takes grace as a resource to live by. We stand in grace. How did you and I first access the grace of God? You know, to have our sins forgiven and be born again. We trusted in the Lord Jesus. And through faith in Him, we access that forgiving grace that washed away our sins. We're told here concerning Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Every day we need more grace for growth, for strength, for protection, for wisdom, to be changed inside, flowing out. How do we access that grace? By faith. Here's the point. Anytime you and I, on any issue, and particularly in the context of families, anytime we in our family or as our family face any issue through faith in the Lord Jesus, it's as though we just reached into the ocean of God's grace and accessed what was needed to walk godly through that situation. Faith accesses grace. If we're going to live daily by the grace of God, be changed by the grace of God, have our homes built by the grace of God, we've got to be willing to walk in humility and faith. And, I suggested, those are relational realities. You don't manufacture humility and you don't manufacture faith. They're relational realities. Can you imagine trying to manufacture humility? No. I gotta be humble. I will be humble. I must be humble. I'm gonna be humble. Hey, I'm getting humble. Oh, wonderful. Now I am humble. That's just when you know a person isn't humble. Just when they think they've produced enough of it. No. You can't manufacture humility. It's a relational reality. It comes out of relationship with the Lord Jesus. You get in the Word, learn about Jesus, hang out with Him in life, pray to Him, and realize He lives in your heart. It's humbling. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords died for me, lives in me. That's humbling. It comes out of relationship. is another way the Lord brings humility. At times he reveals us for what we are. Oh my goodness, is that humbling? Is that humbling? But it's out of relationship. Walking with him, following him, in the word, seeking him. And humility is a result of getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith is the same. We don't manufacture faith. I will believe. I gotta believe. I'm gonna believe. Okay, there, I believe. What does the scripture say? Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus revealed himself to us through the gospel. We believed in him. He authored faith. We stay in the word. Keep seeking him. Learn of him. He shows himself faithful, reliable, trustworthy. What do? We put our faith in him. We trust him. We rely upon him. Faith is a relational reality. It comes from hanging out with the Lord. Think of this. Neither humility nor faith are works. But when they're in a life or a home, they lead to the mighty works of God. Humility is not a work. Humility says, I can't do the work. What's the work? Be like Christ. Be godly. Be holy. Hey, I can't pull that off. I can't manufacture that. Humility says, I can't do the work. Faith isn't a work. Faith says, I'm depending on the work of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you get a person or a family walking in humility and faith by hanging out with the Lord Jesus in the word, in prayer, in obedience, and growing trust, the mighty works of God will take place in and through that life, that home, that family. If we want the Lord to be the builder of our homes, we definitely want to avail ourselves of his word. Hear it, be in it, under it, believe it, respond to it. He'll lay a foundation. If we want the Lord Jesus to be the builder of our homes, we want to be in his church, which is the fullness of him who fills all in all, that our family might grow in fullness of life. If we want the Lord to be the builder of our homes, we'll want to be seeking his wisdom and his guidance, not ours or just human opinion. And if we want the Lord to be the builder of our homes, we want to be committed to his grace. Saved by his grace, birthed by his grace, learning to grow in grace. Peter wrote, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace is for growing. And God wants to grow us up by his grace. If it's our heart's desire to have the Lord as our home builder, let me just invite you to knit your heart with mine and offer a prayer to the Lord of our commitment to the very ways and means that he builds homes. Lord, we thank you that you're willing to be not only the architect of our homes, but also the builder. It's grace upon grace, Lord, how gracious you are. So, Lord, we want to commit ourselves and avail ourselves of the means you use to build lives and homes. We want to commit to your word. Lord, we want to be in your word, sitting under your word, studying it, being changed by it. Forgive us, Lord, for our neglect of your word so often. Lord, also, as the builder of our homes, we want to be committed to your church, living in your church, with your people, learning a fullness of life, seeing it exampled and illustrated and taught about and sharing it one with another. Lord, forgive us for our sometime loose attachment to your church, the body of Christ. Lord, we also want to be committed to your wisdom and guidance. We don't want to lean on our own understanding. We just want to acknowledge you in all of our ways and let you direct our lives, our homes. And then last, Lord, we want to be committed to your grace. Grace that forgives, grace that cleanses, grace that gives new birth, but also ongoing, sanctifying, transforming, strengthening, life-shaping grace that can build us up to be what you want us to be. Lord, to live in your grace,
Develop humility and faith in our lives. Draw our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to hang out with you, follow you, seek you in prayer, follow you in your word. That relating to you will bring the reality of humility and faith into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you give grace to the humble. Thank you that faith can actually access grace. Lord, teach us in our homes and our lives how to live this way, that you might actually be the one building our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.